Hello, everybody, and welcome to God Quest. I'm your host, Miles Young, and I am so honored and thrilled that you have joined us today on God Quest, where we are searching the wild wonders of God's kingdom, and we're on a quest to find that. God's doing some incredible things, so let your friends know about God Quest. Hit that subscribe button down below. Share this with somebody, and let's spread the good news about what God is doing in the earth. Today is going to be an exciting time. We're going to talk about a subject that is very dear to my heart with a very dear friend of mine, Pastor Bishop Randy Williams from Fort Myers, Florida.
Yes, sir.
And I am glad you are here.
Man, I am excited to be in God Quest today. But we got to fix one thing right off the bat.
All right, what is it?
We're not friends.
Oh.
We're brothers.
All right, here we go. Well, I was thinking as I was coming over today to record, and I don't remember the year, but we go way back. We go way back when I was a much younger evangelist, and right. I think my son was just a few weeks old.
Yeah.
And my wife and I came to the city of Pueblo, Colorado.
That's right.
I think I was like 16 and you were like 14 or something.
I would have definitely been a very young new convert. Teenager. Just a hood rat.
Yeah. You know? And little did I know that in that revival, there was a young teenage boy that God had just brought out of a world of I'll let you describe that.
Yeah,
pretty rough.
Absolutely.
Pretty rough spot. But had I known what God was going to do with that kid, I would have probably just sat and said, there's no way.
Absolutely.
And through the years, we have become very dear friends, and you pastor one of the great growing churches in the United States, Fort Myers, Florida. I have had the privilege of preaching there, and it is exploding with growth and revival. And what a privilege it is to have you today. And man, what a long way you have come.
God has been so, so very good. And I'm truly humbled to just play some very small role in the big picture of everything God's doing around the country. And
not only the exploding congregation in Fort Myers, but your hands for years as an evangelist, years before that, a youth pastor, but now global impact, a thriving ministry in Haiti.
Yes, sir.
And your hands are on that, and you are a conference speaker. You are in demand across the globe. I've traveled with you in Central America, Asia, many different places in the United States. And there's one thing that you can't talk about Randell Williams without talking about praise and worship. Now, I know you're a preacher, and I know all that, and I know about the four-wheel drive lifted Jeeps, and I know about Florida and the hood. Yeah. But you can't talk about Randy Williams without talking about worship. So you knew that subject was going to come up today.
Hey, man, one of my favorite subjects on the planet, for sure.
So talk to me. I've seen you in small country churches. I've seen you in Asian context. I've seen you in Latin America. I've seen you on the big conference stage. And you are a worshiper, and you are able somehow to connect. So talk to me about your philosophy of worship.
Well, that is such a broad subject, but I think if I had to just sketch a thumbnail about that, I would say that my philosophy of praise and worship, or worship, really begins with a personal relationship with God. And my philosophy is that if I have a relationship with God that is personal between He and I, then when I am on a stage, in a pulpit, maybe in any setting, all I'm really doing is inviting people to join me in something that I've already been doing with my Creator. And hopefully through that genuine expression, I can take people where I've been with God. And when it's authentic in that level, I believe that's the foundation of effective praise and worship. You can't lead people where you've not been or where you're not spending time.
So for you, it's not a worship set. It's a worship lifestyle.
Absolutely. Worship lifestyle. And we're just coming together to share what we've already been doing in the throne room of God.
You are a wonderful singer. In fact, I think you're singing tonight. We're here at the No Limits Conference. You are a recording artist, a musician, a tremendous preacher. There is an element that I'm often asked by people that are performers, and I don't mean that in a negative sense. There's an element of performance, right?
Absolutely.
And when you're leading people, there's an expectancy of a quality of performance. And I'm often asked by especially qualified or more talented, if I could say it that way, not to denigrate anyone else, but sometimes people that are more talented, there seems to be a struggle of getting out of self, because we want to sing good, right?
Yeah.
And we're thinking about, I got to get this right.
Yeah.
There's a challenge there of not, you can't remove the flesh because you're in the flesh.
That's right.
But you're trying to tap into that thing. Talk about that. What are some of the ways that you're able to navigate that challenge of leading into the Spirit while navigating through the flesh?
Right. I think that for me, the key to that is preparation and development that happens before those moments ever come.
So good.
When you are grappling with the development of your gift, your skill in front of everybody, that's when it can become nerve-wracking. That's when tension exists, and there's no way to hide that from people.
You hit the wrong note, everybody knows.
And if you're uncomfortable, if you don't have that level of confidence that's already been settled, you're bringing them, again, you're inviting them into that same experience. So if you're nervous, if there's tension, if there's all of those things, they're going to feel it. They're going to reflect that with you. And so if your development outside of that moment, we can go down that road a long ways, rehearsing and practicing and really developing the gift that God's given you, to the degree that you develop that outside of those moments, then when those moments happen, your focus isn't on trying to hit the right note. It's not on the little nuances, because those are almost on cruise control. Yeah. And you're really, your focus and energy is on being a catalyst and a go-between, helping lead people into that presence of God, whether that's the depths of consecration or the heights of victory and rejoicing. That becomes the focal point, and your attention isn't given so much to the nuances of the right note, all of those kind of things. I think that preparation and development is key to that being a successful thing.
Yeah, because when you feel ill-prepared, even in the pulpit preaching, when you feel ill-prepared, you're much more self-conscious, and you're working on hoping it comes across right instead of in the flow of what's going on. So the more a musician, a singer practices, the more familiar with the material the worship leader is, the more he's able to lead instead of focus on where I'm at.
Precisely.
And that wasn't so hard in the days I grew up in, and I'm not denigrating. I hate the way people throw off on the past as if it was negative. The past got us to the present.
100%. Oh, yeah, okay. Absolutely.
But I will admit, it's a lot easier when you've got a songbook and every verse is the same and the chorus you're coming back to. You know, there's no tag, there's no channel, there's no key change, there's no vamp, there's no, you know, and a second vamp or a reprise. And so there's a lot going on in a lot of these new worship songs, which sometimes lends itself why sometimes simple choruses are able to connect, because it's really not the song sometimes, it's the leader being able to tap in and not focus on the other things.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, I was literally having this discussion earlier today with Sister Joy Norris, who's here this week as a vocal director for the conference. And we were having a brief discussion about the structure of the song we're singing tonight. And we had that exact conversation that back in the day, you know, you had a verse, chorus, second verse, bridge, and that was it. I mean, you know, then you just got creative with
and
that.
And now the course may be a different course, the second course.
Three choruses, four vamps, a reprise, a fake ending, two inversions. Yeah, you got a lot going on. And so it's definitely much more challenging. And I think that, you know, it can be just as effective. It just demands quite a bit more preparation to be able to memorize the transitions and all of those things. But I think you're onto something there for sure. There's something about simplicity that people love. Duplicate, something that's duplicatable. I don't know if that's a word.
It is today.
Yeah, if it's duplicatable, people tend to gravitate to those things. They want to be able to do it. And so I think it depends on what you're trying to accomplish with the music that you're singing, you know. If you're trying to get music that's going to be used by other congregations and those sorts of things, then maybe when you're approaching writing and producing, that you have to be more mindful of those kind of things.
Yeah, and one of the things that I struggle with in I get frustrated with. I travel a lot. You travel a lot. I'm in a lot of conferences, a lot of different churches. And this is an issue with talented people, is that talented people hear something they personally enjoy. Or they're at a big conference, or they're at a music set where something is performed in that musical environment or that conference setting, and they like it and enjoy it so much, and they think, let's do that at home. Well, they bring that home, and that particular song may not fit that church culture. And then it doesn't go over, and they're very frustrated. When it has nothing to do with a song, it has nothing to do with you, it's just not the culture of a church.
Right.
And I think sometimes talented people, and I'm as guilty as anybody, is we can focus on art form instead of worship.
Yes.
And I try to drill into the people that I work with, pay attention when you're leading. If the congregation is not participating, you're giving a concert. You're not leading worship.
Yeah.
So I think knowing the setting, you know, and in your church, you're very familiar with your congregation. You know exactly where they can go. You know exactly how to embrace
right.
that, or even, you know, and that comes out of relationship. What role do you think relationship plays in this thing called worship?
I think it's huge. Again, when we talk about worship, there's a word that we use in conjunction with that so many times, and that's leading worship. So when you think of worship from a leadership perspective, it has a lot of the same universal truths.
You perform differently when you're leading.
That's right.
So a very good point.
So I think there's a lot of universal connections to the subject of leadership, and certainly relationship has a lot to do with that. Depending on the setting, you know, if you're at your local church, your level of relationship, number one, the most important relationship, because it's multifaceted. There's a lot of relational things happening simultaneously. Your relationship with the king, your relationship with the other people on the platform, your musicians, other singers, your relationship with the congregation that you're leading. There's a lot of relationships to be mindful of. And the more astute and the more acumen you have in those relationships, you're going to have a lot more range of things that you can accomplish. You mentioned the home court advantage, right?
Yeah.
That relationship is so well developed that you have the option to do a lot of things maybe spontaneously that you might not be able to pull off in other places. So that relational piece is big. When you're traveling and maybe you don't have the relationship yeah. with the people that you can rely on, you got to move quick to win them over. And I think a lot comes back to that authenticity piece. There's an element of the supernatural in what we do that sets us completely apart from secular musical concerts and performances. And it's that presence of God. It's that relationship with God. And when that authenticity resonates with people, that's that relational confidence, I think, that happens when you're singing a song about victory or triumph. That has to come from a place of victory and triumph in your life with God, or whatever it is that you're...
I think that we often confuse horizontal anointing with vertical anointing.
Good. Absolutely.
if you pay $15 to go hear a performer, you have anointed them. Okay. You have said, I believe you're worth $15, $30, whatever it is. I'm going to hear you sing at a concert. All right. And you are giving them that. Okay. I'm here. I'm with you. I believe you.
Right.
I'm putting my faith. I wouldn't pay the money if I don't think you're worth going to hear.
Absolutely.
Right. And in that environment, you can be moved. I mean, this is a very carnal example, but I think probably all of our viewers and listeners have heard the famous rendition of the Star Spangled Banner by Whitney Houston.
Oh, yes.
I mean, how many years ago? It's never been equaled, right? She's not spirit-filled. It's not a gospel song. It's not a worship set. It was at a sporting event. But you can be driving down the road, listening to that, and you get goosebumps from hearing this incredible voice sing a song that's nostalgic, that people had paid, and the roar of hearing that production. That's not anointing from above, but it is an anointing.
Absolutely.
The anointing that comes from above is what you talked about as a supernatural anointing. There are preachers that move crowds on a horizontal level, and I don't mean in a negative sense, simply because, oh, brother so-and-so's preaching. There's a horizontal anointing that happens because we've been in that church service with that preacher in a six-month revival. We know God's moving. And so, we want to say faith in God, but you know what I'm talking about. Oh,
absolutely.
Brother so-and-so's here.
He can bring the mail.
Man, he's going to bring the mail. That's horizontal anointing.
Right.
Or so-and-so gets up and does that vocal trick with the choir, and we're like, my God, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
There's no Holy Ghost in that.
Right.
The secular artist can get up and do that very same thing. But what we have access to moves beyond anything Whitney can ever do with the Star Spangled Banner. That's where we take our natural gift and we take that horizontal anointing and we reach up and bring the anointing of the Holy Ghost down that goes past my practice, goes past my friends that came to hear me preach or sing, or the audience. That's where I want to go. Is this isn't an either or thing.
Right.
I believe we can make his praise magnificent on a level that's just, man, performance top-notch. But add to that the vertical anointing from above. You understand that. How do we help people get there?
Again, I think this goes back to what we kind of started talking about, and that is that relationship with God. When you talk about the vertical and horizontal anointing, the horizontal anointing makes people say, wow, what a preacher or a singer.
So good.
The vertical anointing makes people walk away and say, the presence of God was undescribable. That doesn't take away from either. There's going to be that, man, they did a great job singing. Yeah.
The man that was healed hailed to Peter and John. He hailed to the healer.
Yeah, they did a great job preaching. They did a great job singing. But that becomes overshadowed by the manifestation of the work of God that took place, that vertical anointing. And I think that can only come from a place of authentic relationship with God, spending time with God. It's Moses in the mountain, spent time with God until the glory of God shone from his face. And when he came down, they didn't see Moses as much as they saw the glory of God that shone in that place. And so for the preacher who's preaching, for the singer, in our case, we're talking about the worship leader who is leading, how much time have you spent in the presence of God putting those songs on an altar? And if you're going to be singing, you know, I give myself away, have you spent time giving yourself away to God? Because there is going to be a dynamic to you leading that song that if you have already been in that altar giving yourself away to God, that you cannot communicate with words.
Yeah.
The studies say that only 7% of what we communicate is through the words that we speak. So I have a very limited ability to communicate the song through lyrics, and lyrics are powerful, but they're only 7% powerful. the studies, the secular studies, attribute the rest of communication, body language, dynamic, to, you know, nonverbal communication. So the majority, 93% or something like that, is nonverbal. Well, I think if you've got the Holy Ghost, you realize another dynamic that takes place. The lyrics to that song, the chord transitions, those are all powerful. But the line share majority, when you step away and say, man, we were in the presence of God, it's nonverbal communication. It's something I can't do with hitting the right note. It's something I can't do by playing the right chord. It's a communication that can only happen by being in the presence of God. And there's no shortcuts around that to personal consecration. And I truly believe that that is the difference maker.
You not only preach this, you not only teach this, you live this. You are a singer, a performer, but you're a worshiper. And you have learned not only the art of leading worship, you have learned the God you're leading them to. And it's very evident in, you know, judge a tree by its fruit. It's very evident the fruit in the church you pastor, the places you go, the effects when you are participating. And I would encourage every viewer today, if you're a worshiper, which we all are, we're called to worship. I would challenge you, take what you've heard from Bishop Randy Williams today and begin to give it serious thought. Think about how can you strengthen, first of all, your relationship with Jesus Christ, because that's where real worship comes out of. But if you happen to be involved in frontline or one of the worship leaders or one of the singers or any role in leading worship, service leading, think about what we've talked about today and work on the relationships around you in those you're helping lead. Work on building relationship with the people in the pew that you're leading, because if they trust you and know you, and when you call them to worship, it's not some distant figure on a stage, but it's someone they're in relationship with that they know your walk with God, then it's easy to take them into the presence of God. Brother Williams, what an honor to have you on God Quest. Thank you for being here.
Honor is all mine. Honors all mine.
I'm looking forward to being with you in August.
Oh, man, it's going to be incredible.
Give us a little plug before we go.
I think the dates are August 17th, 18th, 19th, Impact International Youth Conference. It's a youth conference we've been doing now since 2016, I believe, was the first year, and it has grown into something very, very special. Another gathering place, another appointed time and place.
On the East Coast.
On the East Coast, Southwest Florida. It's another one of those appointed times, appointed place that God knows we're working, gathering together. And every year, it's an absolutely world changing event. And we're honored because you're going to be there this year,
man, I'm
as one
have
of our
a
guests.
Good time. I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely.
So mark that on your calendar. You don't want to miss that. I want to thank you again for joining us on God Quest. And again, share it, subscribe, help us get the word out there, because there is a wild world of wonder. This God Quest we're on, let's go find it in your city, your nation, your community. Let's make a difference. God bless you. Thank you for being with us on God Quest.